From the Opubco studios at Britain and Broadway, you're listening to a News OK podcast.
Welcome to the News OK Pet Show. I'm Carrie Coppernall.
I'm Don Marks.
And I'm Brian Dean.
And we're joined today by Jennifer McClintock of the Oklahoma City Parks and Rec Department. Thank you for coming in.
Well, thank you guys for having me.
We are going to talk about a fun event that they're having downtown here in a minute. But before that, Brian Dean, you got some news for us?
I do. I have a couple of interesting stories for you here. We're going to start with the deadly animals that could be lurking in your backyard. Garden frogs.
What?
A woman in New South Wales claims that a frog in her neighbor's pond caused her husband's death, and she believes she may be next.
What?
The woman says that her 72-year-old husband was driven to an early grave from the stress caused by years of sleepless nights from the croaking frog. Apparently, the frog is just meters from their bedroom window, and that the sleep deprivation ultimately ruined her husband's health, and that he later died of cancer, apparently caused by a lack of sleep. I don't know how that works, but anyway. Apparently, after a few years of uneasy peace, another frog has come up in the pond next door, and she feels like the torture has started all over again, and she thinks she's going to be killed.
It's like the Edgar Allan Poe poem, The Beating of the Heart, or whatever.
The Telltale Heart.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right.
The croaking of that frog.
Yeah, I croaking frog, I'm sure can be annoying. I hate crickets. When I go to sleep at night and there's a cricket chirping, it drives me up the wall nuts, and I'll tear my house apart looking for it. But I cannot imagine actually blaming it for someone's death.
Yeah, that's pretty out there.
Moving on to a more, I lied to you, Carrie. I said that we didn't have any snake-related stories today.
Oh,
we do.
Oh, Brian.
Chinese health authorities are putting a stop to this new fad in restaurants where they serve chickens which have been bitten to death by poisonous snakes.
What?
And cooked up for a supposedly detoxing meal.
That's the most disgusting thing I've ever heard.
Apparently in the southern...
And appalling.
In the southern province of Guangdong and the southwestern city of Chongqing...
They don't have enough to do.
It says there's a small number of eateries there. And there's been a storm of publicity over it. There's a video showing a cook holding a snake and forcing it to bite a live chicken until it dies. And that's been circulated online. And there have been lots of angry comments about that.
We will not be posting that on our blog. Just FYI. That's awful.
So health authorities have told these restaurants to stop doing it. And I guess hopefully they will. But this is, I will say, from the same province where one dish prized among people in this area is monkey brains scooped from a live animal, which is regularly upset animal rights campaigners in the West. So,
okay.
Yeah. So yeah, as far as food goes, they know how to do it crazy.
Have they heard of peanut butter?
They just don't know.
Like they just.
I don't know what's wrong with fried chicken that it has to be like bitten by a poisonous snake fried chicken.
That just seems cruel and unusual.
It seems like, seriously, those people, the chefs in that area really need something else to do.
I wonder about the venom. I guess it's not venomous anymore.
Maybe if it's heated. Maybe if it's heated.
I love the idea that you might need, you got your kitchen tools. You've got your strainer, your egg beater, your venomous snake.
All
just in case
there.
You need that one. Where do you keep that? Like, do you keep that in with a spatulas? Or does it go, does it have its own special
Where
drawer?
Is my snake? All right. Well, thank you, Brian, for those appalling and disgusting stories.
You're welcome.
Jennifer, to talk about something that's not appalling or disgusting, you guys are having a tour downtown. Tell us about that.
Yeah, well, the Oklahoma City Parks and Recreation Department, and particularly our naturalist at Martin Park Nature Center, decided they wanted to do something kind of new and fun, especially for all of the downtown workers and residents. So we are starting tomorrow, as a matter of fact, our first ever downtown nature hikes. And there are going to be some lunchtime hikes where people can come in from about 12:15 to 12:45, take a little sidewalk tour, but learn about the nature that kind of exists right in the concrete core of downtown.
So, but you guys, if I were in charge of this nature hike, I would say let's walk around the Myriad Gardens and call it a day.
Yeah, no. Okay. We're not doing that. That's a little too obvious. What Neil and Casey want to do in particular is show people how nature has learned to adapt and survive even in places where you wouldn't expect it. Mm-hmm. Like, did you know that there are turkey vultures downtown?
No.
Who knew? There are turkey vultures that live right downtown. Yep. We've got Mississippi kites that live downtown. We have kingbirds that live in some of the trees downtown. Mm-hmm. Not in the gardens necessarily, but in some of the other landscape trees. And some of the other things that you might start to notice, if you start to look at some of the older buildings that have been there, like the First National Tower, some of the materials that they used to use, you'll find little fossils and things in those building materials. And so it's really kind of just awakening people's senses to the nature that is right there under their noses that they might not notice before.
Yeah, when you think of downtown, you don't necessarily, when you think of like a city center, you don't necessarily think of nature.
Right.
I think what Carrie and Don would both like to know is whether they can find any snakes downtown.
The last time I checked, I have not seen any snakes. I don't even think there are snakes at the Mary Botanical Gardens downtown. Maybe a little garter snake.
Just say that there are so that we can continue to scare.
No, I can't do that. I got to be honest with the folks. I don't think we have any snakes downtown.
Thank you.
Gosh. Now, do we insert a lawyer joke here?
I don't know. No. Politician joke.
Oh, okay. There you go.
So, are you guys, is this the first time you've had anything downtown? Is this something that you're thinking a lot of people are going to be interested in? Have you guys heard any feedback?
Well, we've had really some great feedback so far. We've got several people signed up. You know, this is one of those things that you don't need the big walking, you know, your big hiking boots in the backpack. Yeah. It's just a half an hour kind of a sidewalk tour.
Yeah.
So people just were encouraging them to bring some comfortable shoes, a water bottle. Maybe a hat if it's going to be extra sunny outside, some glasses. Just be prepared for whatever weather we're having, either Wednesday, Thursday, or Friday when the walks will be held. And it gives people an opportunity just to kind of, again, open their eyes, see what there really is. Mm-hmm. I think we're so used to staring at concrete and glass and sidewalks and this that we might not notice some of the things that are right there underneath our noses from a nature's perspective. So it's kind of exciting, and it's going to be something new and different that we've not done before.
Tell us a little bit about Martin Nature Park for folks who maybe haven't been there or are unfamiliar with it.
Well, Martin Nature Park has been around, gosh, I think it's longer than 30 years now, and it's a 140-acre park that's located in between MacArthur and Meridian on Memorial Road at 5000 West Memorial. And it is a nature park and wildlife sanctuary. We've got 3 miles of walking trails out there. We've got deer, we've got bobcats, we've got red fox, we've got all kinds of squirrels, multiple bird species, of course, turtles and fish in our creeks and ponds. So it's a great opportunity for parents to get their kids away from the video games, away from the TV, away from all of the electronica that is invading our lives. In and out every day, and to get them back to a place where they can just kind of sit and breathe and look and think and go, wow, look at that bird, or wow, look at that little animal that I've not seen before. And we've got education programs out there too, so that makes it a lot of fun.
I always love the Prairie Dog Village. I was born and raised here, and 20 years, 30 years ago, my grandmother would take us out there all the time, and we'd go look at the Prairie Dog Village and go to the Nature Center. And I gotta say, as like a 5 to 10 year old kid, it's pretty cool.
Yeah, unfortunately, our poor little prairie dogs didn't really make it in for some reason over the years.
Oh, right.
They're
I'm
not
crushed.
There anymore.
I'm crushed.
I'm so sorry. You have to go down the Wichita Mountains, I think, or the zoo to go see them. For some
other
reason,
animals, though, don't worry.
Yeah, we've got lots of other.
They went to prairie dog heaven.
I don't know where they went, but we over the years we think some badgers or maybe there was some other predator that kind of got to them, and you know it's kind of one of those funny things. People have said, well, why didn't you put some more in the park? But we said, well, but if they're not, if the colony's not going to survive, you know, it's kind of inhumane to put something back in there if their survivability rate isn't very good.
Right. Well, what I liked about it so much was that it is so kind of untouched, and I don't know, I guess you're so used to even in the parks seeing like, you know, things that are kind of artificial that are put there because we want to see them. And what I liked so much about it was it reminded me as a kid of going on vacations with my parents down to like the Arbuckles and going into like nature centers and stuff and seeing an area that was much more, I mean, it seemed very much more rural than what I'm used to in Oklahoma City.
Well, it is. You know, the trails that we have out there for the very most part, they're natural trails. So when it rains, it gets muddy. When it snows, there's snow. I mean, you know, it's not like your typical suburban park where we have a lot of sidewalks and things like that. When it's a nature park, you are really out there with nature.
Yeah.
And, you know, even as often as I go out there for different things, every time I step in there, it's just kind of like I can let go of the rest of the world and just kind of, you know, just let it go and step back to a place that we don't get to explore very often, at least in our busy, harried lives. And it's a great place for kids.
And you guys have worm charming. I do know that.
Yes, we've had that, I think, in the past.
Worm charming.
Yeah, we have all kinds of...
That's the most intriguing park event I've ever heard of in my life.
I did not know about worm charming.
One of my coworkers was like, I'm doing a story about worm charming. And I'm like, what?
Yeah, I think Neil, you know, our good old naturalist Neil has got all kinds of funny anecdotes about, you know, things that he's done with all of these critters and stuff, you know, from rescuing geese off of the top of, you know, Quail Springs Theater to all, you know, worm charming to all kinds of interesting things. There's just so much to learn about nature and things that you wouldn't even think about right there.
You guys are always doing new events out there, too. I get notices all the time about all the new stuff that's going on. So people, I guess, where can people go to find out what's going on?
Well, of course, we can go to the Oklahoma City website, which is okc.gov. And if you click on the city departments link on the left-hand side, you can go down to parks, and we've got a whole section about what we have going on at Martin Nature Center. Lots going on in the summer. Our Green Earth Gang, which is a kind of a volunteer conservation group for kids 12, like 6 to 12, is getting ready to come up. So we've got all kinds of opportunities for people to come out and learn about nature, both right here at Martin Park, and then, of course, this week right downtown.
Excellent. Thank you very much, Jennifer. And speaking of wildlife, Dawn, you have some tips.
I do have some tips.
About wildlife.
I do. Attracting wildlife. And these come from the National Wildlife Federation.
So they probably know.
Yes, I think so. First one I saw was butterflies. I think that would be fun. Want to try for red, yellow, orange, pink, or purple blossoms. And flat-topped or clustered flowers. Particularly attractive for butterflies. And then another tip is to use downed trees to attract animals like grouse or squirrels.
I have to say, we were discussing this earlier. There was a big wind or some storm that knocked down a bunch of the very top tree limbs that have been broken off since December 2007 in our yard. And of course, it was like maybe 2 days after Big Trash Day. So we're like, oh, we'll just put these in a big pile. And I am positive that there's something living in there.
I'm guessing there is.
You just dive in and see what it is.
It may not be a squirrel or a grouse.
No, I had a dream. No, I had a dream the other night that it was actually a family of deer, but I think it's something more sinister.
It's going to be the most giant pile of tree limbs ever. It's a whole family of deer living in it.
Yeah. I don't think in real life they are, but I...
Yeah.
Just please no skunks. I'm really afraid to move it since Dawn told me this morning. I was like, oh, confirmation. Something bad's in there.
Yes. Well, and then I also found attracting amphibians, which goes along with the frog story. The frog torture.
You want to die an early death by frog.
So, protect the existing habitats. Landscape naturally, which would be... like carrying, not mowing.
Yeah.
The creative.
Unless you get tickets from the city. Jennifer, do not turn me in.
I won't say a word. Okay. Different department.
Create a pond. And the last one is create or buy a toad abode. It's a very easy thing to create. You can just turn a ceramic flower pot upside down, make sure there's a crack in it or something where the animal can get through. You can put a rock under the edge so that they can get in there. And they like to have their abodes in shady spots near water sources.
Note to self, don't do that.
Yeah. So all right. You can have a little pond or put out a little saucer of water and you can have a toad abode.
Toad abode. All right. Thank you very much, Dawn.
You're welcome.
And thank you again, Jennifer, for coming in.
Thank you, guys.
And thank you all for listening, and go out and take care of your pets.